Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mouse Ears Podcast, where we talk about all things travel, but mostly Disney. Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys Travel.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Mouse Ears Podcast. Tonight, it is me, Steph, and my awesome co-host, Brooks. How are you tonight, Brooks?
Hi-de-ho, neighbors. I'm doing well, Steph. How are you doing down there in hot, steamy Florida?
Gosh, we were just having a whole conversation about this. It is ridiculously hot these days. Like, we have record-breaking heat. So, honestly, I'm, like, avoiding being outside as much as I can other than, like, walking the dogs in the morning or the afternoons. But yeah, how about you? How's the weather by you?
So, as we were talking, as soon as I stepped out of the office this afternoon, walked out the doors into the sun, and I was like, yep, I can taste the heat. And except for just a very slight breeze, yeah, it was hot. And I think either Friday or Saturday, I think we're supposed to have record highs here in Charleston. But it feels better than it did in Augusta. Growing up, I always joke that Augusta had all the humidity of a coastal town with none of the breeze. So I'm glad that we at least have a little bit of breeze here. Makes all the difference.
It really does. We'll sometimes get a breeze, but if it's like a hot breeze, you're like, nope, back inside. Like, you can't even get a full breath in. So point is, check the weather before you go on your summer vacation plans, especially to Walt Disney World, because there are a lot of things that you should be packing to be able to tackle this heat. It'll make all the world of a difference. Maybe we'll do that one of these episodes. It's like a summer trip packing list. I think that could be fun.
I think that'd be good.
So anyways, Kelton is not with us today. I don't remember what he's doing. He's on a trip.
Yeah.
So he won't be with us this week or next week, unfortunately, so he will be missed. But today's episode, we might not need him. And the only reason I say that is because we're going to talk about the pros and cons to having a Walt Disney World annual pass, which both Brooks and I do have, but Kelton does not. Wah, wah, wah. Hopefully one day he will, because goodness, we have a lot of fun.
We have ours until next Saturday.
And then you'll get it again.
Yes, we'll get it again in September.
Yeah. So anyways, before we do get started on today's episode, our favorite part of the show is new news with Brooks Walker.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to the new news here at the Mouse Ears Podcast. I am your host, Christian Brooks. So here with the new news, our first piece of news, we're going over in a galaxy far, far away with Star Wars Acolyte has hit Disney+. The two-episode premiere hit the streaming platform Tuesday, June 4th at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific time. Acolyte is Disney's first live-action story in the High Republic timeline of Star Wars. So with that timeline, it's about 100 years before the prequels. The opening scroll credits for Star Wars Acolyte goes, 100 years before the rise of the Empire. It is a time of peace. The Jedi Order and the Galactic Republic have prospered for centuries without war. But in the dark corner of the galaxy, a powerful few learn to use the Force in secret. One of them, a lone assassin, risks discovery to seek revenge.
I just got goosebumps. Wow, I did not expect you to do that voice, and you nailed it. Oh, so good.
Well, thank you.
Just like the show so far.
Well, thank you. I have only watched the first episode as of yet. I'm going to watch the second episode after we finish recording tonight. But the first episode, oh, so good. So good. We're not a spoiler podcast, so we're not going to give anything away, but go watch it. That's all I'm going to say.
I really do just, I feel like they're killing it with all these Star Wars shows. I love Star Wars. I feel like no matter what I'm watching Star Wars, I always get excited, giddy, and goosebumps. And I only watched the first episode just like you so far. I'm just so excited that they're exploring all these different timelines, all these different characters, stepping outside the box, but still keeping the essence of Star Wars so profound that like it's like a seamless transition from one show to the other, even if they're different, you know, time frames. I can't say the same about Marvel. I feel like Marvel, we went from being very serious, then being very comical, and then there's just like so many differences in like the emotions. But for Star Wars, it's like constantly suspense and like adventure. I love it. Anyways, sorry, had to get that off my chest.
I will say though, I feel like Marvel has dialed it back some, because it seemed like for a while they were just pumping out show after show after show, and the quality didn't seem as high. I still enjoy them. A lot of people, I feel like, didn't really like She-Hulk, but She-Hulk is mostly a comedy character, like with Deadpool breaks the fourth wall. So I did enjoy it, but I can see how some people didn't. But with Loki, knocked it out of the park. And I feel like they're drawing it back some. They're slowed down their releases and just making things a little tighter, a little better. So I'm really interested to see, especially how they do Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
I don't think it's going to be the family film that Deadpool 2 was, because a little bit of a spoiler, Deadpool constantly said Deadpool 2 is a family film. It's all about family. But like, I'm still going to watch them anyway. I mean, I'm not going to lie about that. I'm still going to watch them.
I'm just like you. I'm going to watch them. I'm going to still enjoy them. I just feel, this is a personal opinion, Star Wars has their like essence so much more honed in, and I'm so much more immersed in Star Wars than I am with Marvel. I feel like I definitely kind of lost a little bit of the, I don't know, the interest, I guess. Star Wars, much more bigger fan for them than for Marvel, but that doesn't mean it's bad. Like Marvel, I mean. Anyways, back to the new news. Good Lord.
Back to the new
train
news.
Train wreck. Train wreck.
Yeah, that thing. So now heading over across the interstate to Universal, talking about Kelton's favorite subject, Halloween Horror Nights. Universal Studios has announced the first shared IP haunted house for the upcoming Halloween Horror Nights season, A Quiet Place, inspired by Paramount Pictures critically acclaimed franchise of films. The A Quiet Place Haunted Houses will open for scares Friday, August 30th at Universal Hollywood Resort and Thursday, September 5th at Universal Hollywood Studios. And then also, this is a potential scoop from, I feel like, our resident Halloween Horror Nights correspondent, Robbie Clark. Ghostbusters is rumored to be announced on Saturday, June 8th, which is Ghostbusters Day and the 40th anniversary of the first film's release. So I feel like they're just not, every house that's announced, it just seems like they are ramping it up more and more. So I'm really interested to see what they're going to do.
What this also means is, because of all the popular movies that they're incorporating, expect express passes to sell out. It is not too early to book your Halloween Horror Night tickets with your express pass, with your package. whether or not you're staying a night or, you know, if you're a Florida resident or not, doesn't matter. It is not too early, because goodness knows that as a travel agent, I have people all the time that come after, you know, come and request express passes like a few days before their trip, because all of a sudden they're freaking out. They're not going to be able to go to the different houses. Lo and behold, they're sold out and there's nothing that I can do about it. It's gone. And yes, are express passes a little bit more expensive than the tickets? Yes. But if you want to be able to go to all of them, it's the best way to do it. So,
or if you're going to be down there towards the end of August, look into that preview event that they're having. I know tickets are expensive for that, $350, but
you get a lot.
The value that you get with the all day you care to enjoy food,
low wait times.
You can hopefully go to all the houses at once. That's, if you're going to be down there around that time, that's, I would highly recommend looking into that.
Yep.
But moving back over to Disney, last week, Disney shared details in a first look at the inside of the new DVC rooms at Disney's Polynesian Resort. The Island Tower will open on December 17th, 2024. Cash rental reservations are now open. To learn more, visit our Facebook page or reach out to your favorite Fairy Tale Journeys agent. And also, since our topic is on annual passes, we felt it is pertinent to mention currently new sales of Magic Key passes, which is the equivalent of annual pass at Disneyland Resort, are currently paused until further notice. This isn't something new. It's something that they generally do from town to town. They don't keep them open all year round, but they are currently on pause. Moving on, guys, Tiana's Bayou Adventure is coming. There's so much merch coming soon. First, they will be sold at the Emporium at Magic Kingdom starting on June 28th, and then they'll move over to the Critter Co-op store outside of Tiana's Bayou Adventure ride a few days after its official debut on June 28th. There will also be some special treats coming to the Golden Oak Outpost in Magic Kingdom that will be available from June 28th until September 6th. Some of these foods include hot honey chicken with sweet potato fries and Tiana's famous beignets, just to name a few. Don't forget, there are some sweet deals this summer if you're wanting to take a getaway to Walt Disney World and visit Tiana's Bayou Adventure. Reach out to Fairytale Journeys Travel to get paired with one of our amazing agents to help you get started on your summer plans. And with that, that is the new news, and we bring it back to Steph in the studio. Steph.
Thank you so much, Christian Brooks Walker / Runner.
Was he here again, Christian Brooks Runner? Man, he's so fast.
You just missed him. He nailed it, especially with his Star Wars voice. Whew.
I heard he had new glasses this week too. Made him look like Jeffrey Dahmer in a good way.
Oh, good Lord. Well, on to the actual episode topic. I'm actually really excited for this one. I mean, gosh, I feel like I say that every week. I get excited very frequently for everything we do here at the Mouse Ears Podcast.
Is there ever going to be an episode where it's like, guys, we're just not really feeling it this episode, but we need to push one out anyway?
So far, it hasn't happened, and I'm so glad it's the case. You never know
if we feel like that. We haven't.
Yeah, we haven't. We have so much fun every Thursday, honestly. But this is like a cool episode. This was something that we had on our like episode ideas document. And from, yes, we have like a running
from
document.
Season one.
Mm-hmm. So why do I mention that? If anyone out there who listens to us if you reach out to us privately or on our Facebook page and you have any episode ideas, most likely it'll end up on our document, and at some point it'll be brought on to fruition. And this is one of those episodes that was on our list. We came across and we're like, wow, this would be like a really cool episode, different, especially, you know, in preparation for the summer holidays. You know, there's so many fantastic deals out there. So it's like, do you take advantage of an annual pass or do you take advantage of some of these deals? Because there's great out-of-state deals and there's great Floridian deals. So this was a good way to kind of like help you bring some light to an annual pass at the very least. So the way that we did this is we've got 10 pros and 10 cons as to why you should or shouldn't get an annual pass. Of course, these are based entirely on me and Brooks's personal opinions, ideas, thoughts, and experiences. But by all means, you know, this is not an end-all be-all list. It's just something fun. And we had a lot of, like, we went back and forth, I feel, with a lot of these topics because we've had our own individual experiences with our annual passes. And there's always so many good goodies around the corner for AP holders. So, you know, let's get right into it, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So, in no particular order, our first pro of the night as to why we believe an annual pass is something fantastic to have is because you do not have to buy individual tickets for the parks. If you plan on going to the parks multiple times in 1 year, then you would actually save a lot of money in the long run. Also, it allows you access to easily go to parks multiple times throughout the years and throughout the year and experience all the different holiday decorations, seasonal offerings, whether you want to go on a short day, a long day, you've got options. So there are days where I go with family and friends who don't have an annual pass, and I love having it because it doesn't matter to me if I go a full day or half a day. Typically, for any guest who's buying just like a one-day ticket or just a couple-day tickets, they want to spend the entire day at the park. We're talking from early entry all the way to post fireworks and nighttime spectacular, right? When I'm going by myself or with Mike, who we both have annual passes, or anyone else, I do have friends who have annual passes. So when we go, we don't feel the pressure to have to, you too, Brooks, we're going to get there one day. we don't feel the pressure to have to go on everything, try everything, see everything. You know, in fact, it's more of a leisure experience. Like, you go do your favorites if they're short wait times, but then it also kind of pushes you to do things that you typically wouldn't. Or maybe just, you know, pivot your what you want out of your trip to try other things. Like, for me, it's food. I love food. I love trying all the different seasonal stuff. I'm sure, Brooks, for you, you might want to do more meet and greets with Ellie. So, like, there's more to see and do that you typically wouldn't if you're just trying to see all the shows and parades and go on all the rides and just get a quick meal in to just continue going to your through your day. So I feel like that's a huge, huge, huge perk of an annual pass is you end up feeling less pressure and eventually seeing more and trying out more things. Would you agree, Brooks?
Oh, no, I completely agree. I feel like having an annual pass kind of takes the stress out of, okay, I got to do all this today and do all this tomorrow to make sure I get everything I could possibly get in our trip. We mention it time and time again. Sometimes you have to just stop and smell the flamingos. And you just get to enjoy the parks more. Again, you slow down. You notice some of the minute details that Disney will throw in just on a wall. Like Animal Kingdom has such a plethora of just Easter eggs and hidden Mickeys and little just messages and everything, and all the parks do. You walking down Main Street and seeing the names on the windows. Mm-hmm. And I think the first couple of times I went to Disney, you know, I talked about in 2004, 2005, that was my first time going. I was wanting to just run around, do all the rides, and we really didn't truly slow down until we got the annual pass. And I mean, I think in our last trip, I think we literally went into a park and didn't, and this would have been just blasphemy to me before, but didn't even ride a ride.
Mm-hmm.
Like a thrill ride or anything. We went on like a little show, like little show ride, like Nemo and Friends, or taking a couple of the shows, but we walked around, we enjoyed ourselves though, and it takes away that stress. But I mean, in some, I'm not saying that stress is all bad. Sometimes it brings out that excitement, brings out that adrenaline.
Mm-hmm. But I completely agree with you about the stress. Yeah. Like, it just takes it away. And no matter what, it's still a good time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because you're always doing something new and different, or just, you know, taking it in. It's just a different experience.
If I'm going to be stressed, I'm going to be stressed at Disney.
If so. There's a vacation you need to, if there is ever a vacation that you need to vacation from, does that make sense?
Yes.
You need to take a vacation from, it's Disney, because you're actually very rarely just taking it easy. So you go to Disney, that's a vacation, then you need vacation from Disney to kind of recoup and get a rest in.
Little pro tip, always plan a day after you get back from your trip to just recharge.
Yes, absolutely. So. Some knees will be hurting, some feet will be hurting. And some backs mm-hmm. will definitely be hurting. So anyways, our first con, again, this is no particular order. Buying an annual pass is a huge investment. If you're an out-of-state guest, you're looking at an annual pass that's costing over $1,400 because you're only able to get the top tier annual pass, which is the IncrediPass. And this pass does increase in price every year, just like the regular day-to-day tickets, but something to take into consideration because, you know, unless you're going 10 days to a park minimum, it might not be worth it. But if you're planning on going multiple times, you know, it could be an investment. That being said, think about it. It's $14.49 per person. If you're a family of four or five, that's a huge chunk of money. And again, the only annual pass available for out-of-state guests is the IncrediPass. Unless you are a DVC member, in which you are granted the opportunity to get the next pass down, which is the Sorcerer Pass, and it does save guests hundreds of dollars. But if you're not, you're kind of stuck.
But then you also have the added price of being a DVC member.
Correct.
So,
but then you save money in the long run with your hotel, depending on how you utilize it. I mean, if Disney is something that you're going to be going with your family every year for years and years and years, you're a huge Disney fan. I mean, could be for you. This is not an episode about DVC. Sorry about my dog barking.
No, he's very
excited.
He's very excited.
He's upset I haven't gone to DVC yet. Let's put it that way. So I'd say that one of the biggest cons where an annual pass is concerned is that it's an investment. It's just a much bigger investment if you're an out-of-state guest. In-state guests, we'll get into pros and cons for you guys later in this episode. Yep. All right, take number two, Brooks.
So number two, again, in no particular order, a pro is discounts, 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 discounts. You can get discounts on merch. You can get discounts on meals. You can get discounts on hotel stays, special ticketed events, just to name a few. Sometimes early access to those things as well. That was one thing I did not expect whenever we got our annual pass, was how much money you save on the discounts, on meals, on I remember our first meal, they asked, oh, are you an annual pass holder? And it's like, Yes. Yes, I am. And gave him the card, and 10% was knocked off of that meal. Then going in and certain merchant in the stores, 20% off. And then also there's sometimes special deals even with that. Hotel deals, a lot of times if you see like up to 30% off on the hotels, the annual pass is sometimes up to 35% off. Huge savings. That was something I was not expecting, and how I also then justified paying that big price.
Discounts is a huge selling point for people with the annual pass. I mean, it's not just like shopping inside Disney parks and on property. It's also on Shop Disney as well. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to throw in there, we mentioned earlier about the new Polynesian Resort Tower and those rooms that are going to be, they're going to open in December, but booking for those has already opened when this episode airs. But there were different tiers. First, it was open to DVC members. Then it was open for annual pass holders, and then it was open to the general public. So, you know, those are the little perks that people don't necessarily think about as well when they're looking at those large ticket prices, right? Mm-hmm. Like that sticker value.
Yeah. So, but, you know, with all good things, there's usually checks and balances. One of the cons, and this wasn't really a con until the beginning of this year, you do have to still make park reservations if you go on your annual pass. Like I said, the beginning of 2024, Disney got rid of this requirement on day-based tickets. And this could potentially limit your ability to go to a certain park during annual pass previews. So mentioned that my annual pass expires next Saturday. Excuse me. I was getting choked up about it being ending. But starting next weekend is the annual pass preview for Tiana's Bayou Adventure. And we were looking at, hey, for a last hurrah, let's go and try to do Tiana's Bayou Adventure. As soon as it dropped that, hey, these are the dates, by 10 a.m., all of the days for Magic Kingdom were booked up for annual pass holders. That's not saying you can't find different ways to go. You could park hop and try to join the virtual queue then, but you never know. Again, getting choked up here. Annual pass does have good to go days where you get extra park reservations, and those are exceptions, and they're becoming more available, but they're not available during the holiday seasons and the busier days in the year. So that was number two.
Sweet.
Steph, yeah, you want to go to number three?
Absolutely. So number three, we have annual pass exclusive merch and magnets. Okay, so the AP exclusive merch, to some this might be awesome, to some it might not. Throughout the parks, throughout different times of the years, Disney will sometimes have like pop-up shops. They'll have like random exclusive annual pass holder merch, pins, things that you can only get with an annual pass. Says it in the name. I know that most recently I saw that in the Germany Pavilion at Epcot, they have a whole collection of different glasses, like drinking ware, with like the AP like logo and the, you know, annual pass holder wording. A lot of times they do have the year of whatever, you know, whatever year the annual pass is. And for some people, they might not like that. I'm one of those people that I don't really like years in identifying markers for my merchandise. That's not to say it's not cute, because it really, really is. I would have absolutely bought. They had like steins. They've got wine glasses. They had flutes. They had shot glasses. They were so stinking cute. Anyways, But then more importantly is the magnets. I mean, AP holders go crazy for these magnets. During COVID, they had like shipped a couple to people's homes because they couldn't go to the parks and, you know, COVID, germs. But now we're back to getting to the park and showing your annual pass and your ID and collecting these magnets. And they're seasonal. I mean, they probably happen 3, 4, 5 times a year. I actually don't know that for certain. I think it's like 4 times a year, like a seasonal thing. Most recently, we have Stitch over at the Connection store in Epcot. He's so cool, so cute. We haven't had Stitch before. People were raving over him. We've had in the past Figment. We've had Ratatouille. We've had Tinkerbell. So
Hey.
Yep. These magnets are like just like a huge staple for annual pass holders. People love. I have them all over my fridge. I know people have them all over their cars. Scooter also feels very passionate about these magnets. Sorry, he's a little grumpy tonight.
I would like to know what Scooter's favorite magnet is.
Oh, goodness. Scooter, he's like a Donald Duck. Always grumpy.
I love Donald Duck.
I know. That Donald Duck 90th birthday merchandise was to die for. Anyways.
Roosevelt's has some really good Donald Duck 90th as well.
We will continue this conversation.
Yes.
Off the record.
Yes.
So I feel like those are huge pros for annual pass holders. Another con would be that many of these promos that you see, especially like in the summertime, well, they don't really apply to annual pass holders. And I've been a victim of getting so excited to see some of these like promotions and then realize I don't qualify. Why? Well, for instance, during a couple times this year, Disney Visa guests can qualify for free dining as long as they stay for a minimum amount of nights at a Disney resort plus get park hopping tickets. Well, crap. I have my annual pass. I'm obviously not going to buy 4 plus park hopper tickets when I already got my pass. You know, so at that point, the promo is not worth it for me for free dining. So I'd say like that's a huge con. Even though we do get fantastic discounts, something like free dining is kind of a big deal. But just so our audience member know exactly what I'm talking about, I did want to kind of give them a little bit of more information on that promotion. So beginning April 9th, which obviously is long gone, Disney Visa card members can get a free dining plan for select arrival dates in July, September, and December when they book a non-discounted 4-night, 4-day, or longer Walt Disney Travel Company package with Park Hopper option. For more details, visit Fairytale Journeys Travel. But again, that is a huge con for us. Yes, we get our own discounts. But yeah, it does suck when you see some of these really cool promotions and discounts and other cool stuff that we're not going to be able to take advantage of. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's again, I just talked about all the great discounts you get, but some of these special deals that they offer, like the $99 a day tickets and $89 if you don't go to Magic Kingdom, and some of the free dining, that's a huge, especially if you're a foodie like me. I mean, you look at me and you don't think that man does not like food. But yeah, it is a bummer that you can't then tack that on with your annual pass. Cause like, hey, I already spent this money. Can I get this perk too? Wink, wink, right. Nudge, nudge.
We're greedy.
So
anyways, moving on to number 4, Brooks, take it away.
And I just want to preface this. This is probably my favorite perk. When you're getting your annual pass, you have the option of adding on Memory Maker. And you can add it on for the entire You add it on to your pass and you have it for the entire year. That we're able to use it on every single trip with Ellie this past year. We literally have like to see how much she's grown. This one picture with Mickey and Minnie over next to Journey into Your Imagination next to Mickey. And the first couple of times I'm holding her like she's a little petite, light little thing. And towards the end, like I think the third picture, my arm was literally shaking trying to hold her. And the fourth one's like, yeah, I can't hold her like that anymore. So able to see her grow. Got great ride pictures on Tron and Guardians of the Galaxy, Cosmic Rewind. The Tron picture, and I think I shared it on the Facebook page, but if you're listening, whoever was next to me on that, you made my day with that picture, with your reaction to the ride. But the fact that you also get it for the whole year, it makes it less than $1 a day. So,
well, if you think about it, if you get it for your trip, whether it's
yeah,
1 day or 5 days or more, it's $89, I think. Oh gosh, mm-hmm. I'm drawing a blank and I really shouldn't. But then if you get it with your annual pass, it's like $180 or around that ballpark area for the whole year.
Yeah.
It pays and for itself.
I also was able to use it for Run Disney.
It's worth its weight. I love being able to go with groups, with families. And if you have it,
yeah,
you don't have to worry about taking a selfie. You go to a cast member, a photo cast member, and they'll take your group picture in some of these beautiful locations. I mean, those pictures are worth downloading and printing and putting them, in a frame around the house.
Yeah. And if you're a family getting the annual pass, only one person has to get the magic maker, the memory maker.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone has to get it. So like with ours, we put it on my annual pass, and then Kelsey's, we just bought the annual pass without the memory maker. But we were just, whenever we got our photos, we scanned my magic band instead. So
it's worth it.
That's probably my favorite perk.
Yeah.
Followed closely by the discounts. But unfortunately, unless you plan to stay on a Disney property, one of our wonderful travel agents cannot help you purchase an annual pass. And so, and especially if you're a Florida resident looking at the annual pass, it can be daunting trying to decide which one to pick. So.
Yeah, but absolutely. I mean, well, there's a lot of perks with using a travel agent. If you're staying on property and you can still make a basic package. And if you haven't listened to that episode about packages, please go back a few episodes earlier this season. We kind of do a deep dive on that for both Disney and Universal. But, you could still go to Walt Disney World and use a travel agent. But specifically for annual passes, we can't do that, sadly. Yeah. But anyways.
Moving
we can
on.
Help with other things.
Yep. Moving on. What are our next pros and cons?
Next pro, this one is a huge one, and that is free standard parking at the theme parks. Whether you're staying on property or not, being able to get free parking at the theme parks is awesome. And why is that, Brooks? I'll tell you why. Because that means you get to ride the trams. The trams.
The trams.
You made my night with that. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Be like Oprah. Be like Oprah. You get a tram. You get a tram.
You get a
Everybody
tram.
Gets a tram.
I love it. So yeah, you can ride the tram for free. I mean, listen, parking is $30. That is a meal. There's a lot of things you can do with $30 at Disney.
That's a popcorn bucket.
There you go. So with an annual pass, you get free parking. If you're staying on property, you get free parking. But you don't get to ride the tram otherwise. So that's a pro. A con. Three words. Blackout days. Yep, they still exist. Although I personally don't really go to the parks during like really, really busy times of the holiday seasons. You know, it does suck not to have that option. Especially like if I have family or any friends that are visiting for the holidays, because hello, it's their time off, they're traveling, they're coming here, and they want to go to the parks, and I'm blacked out, and I'm like, well, crap, I'm not going to buy a one-day ticket. So little things like that does suck. But again, there are a lot of different annual passes available. Three out of the four passes have blackout dates. Actually, does yours have blackout dates, Brooks?
No, the accredited pass does not have blackout dates.
So three out of the four have blackout dates in which you cannot enter the park at all. So does suck. But let's say if that's something that's like a deal breaker for you and you're in-state, get the Incredi Pass. You have to know who you are, what your travel dates and priorities are, and that'll help also determine which pass you do get. Because I feel like that's the biggest thing is, well, do you live close by and have a Pixie Pass, which is the lowest tier, and that only allows you to go Monday through Friday? Or do you get the Incredi Pass because you want the flexibility every day of the year, whenever, no matter what, things to think about. So that's a con. Blackout dates. Because they're just never fun.
I feel like you're quoting a lot of Shakira tonight. Because you were like, try everything. And then also it's like, wherever, whenever.
I didn't even notice, but that's kind of cool.
So.
All right. So moving on to number six.
So moving on to number six. APs, annual pass holders, you know, that's what we call ourselves, have previews. Disney will have annual pass holder previews on certain attractions that are opening new things. For example, Tiana's Bayou Adventure AP previews are going to be on certain days starting next week, June the 14th through the 20th. So,
huge perk.
Yes, I would say get your reservations, but those are already gone. And I say certain days because my thought was, hey, maybe we're going on our last day, the 15th. And I was like, oh, there's an opening. And I went and clicked it, got it. And then all of a sudden I was like, darn, it's not, they're not doing it on the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no other days to use.
Oh,
bummer. So, and I wonder if they're going to, it would be interesting if they do a pass holder preview for Country Bear Jamboree.
They do. I feel like it's going to probably be like 2 days or something. Like it won't be as long as Tiana's. I feel like Tiana's is like the buildup has been so much longer and bigger because, well, Splash Mountain has been closed since 20. Has it been a year? It's been a year. 2023.
It's been 2023.
Wow. It feels like it's been so much longer, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways.
Yeah. But
previews, those are awesome. Those are awesome.
But moving on to a con, we are mentioning these are for Walt Disney World. There is no pass holder option available that grants you access to coast. So there's no, you hear those people that say, hey, where's Harry Potter over here? I want to go see that next. Or, isn't this the one that Walt built? I want to go over to see his apartment and whatever. Those are different parks, and there's no pass holder option that will allow you to have access to also Disneyland. However, if they ever make one, Disney, hit me up.
They used to have those options, not anymore though. If they bring those back, I'd be surprised. Or I'd be happy. I mean, yeah. I'd give it a go.
I'm sure it'll have a hefty price tag with it.
Definitely
too.
Higher than IncrediPass. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you can have access to both coasts.
They call it the Edna mode. Whatever. I don't know.
Oh, I love that. Anyways, moving on to number 7. So, Brooks, the only reason I'm calling you out on this one is because technically you could have still gone to the preview if you park hopped.
I mentioned that there was a little trick.
I know. But this whole pro is dedicated to the fact that if you have an annual pass, you can park hop without actually having to pay anything extra, like a regular separate day-to-day ticket, which is awesome. Hello. If you ask me, this is probably right behind Memory Maker. This is probably my favorite perk of having an annual pass, is that you just are able to hop to any park, no problems, no extra fees, nothing. You get to try out the different methods of transportation around Walt Disney World, which is always fun. And you get, again, it's that ease, that stress-free experience. Hey, you know, this park's looking a little busy. Why don't we go over to that other park? Or, you know what? I really want to ride Guardians this morning. I got a virtual queue. We're early in the grouping. Great, we'll do that. And then we'll park hop over to Hollywood Studios via Skyliner and have lunch there. I mean, that is just awesome. Awesome. So with the park hop, it's gold. You do have the ability to upgrade your annual pass to the Park Hopper Plus, which would grant you access to the water parks, depending what's open, and ESPN's Wide World of Sports. That does have an extra price to it. Otherwise, if you don't want to do that, you can get...
I think it's only like the cost of a one, like to add it on, it's only the price of like a 1 day ticket for the water park. So if you plan,
it's really not that much.
It's like, I want to try it once. You might as well just add it on.
Well, maybe not once, because with an annual pass, you do get a discount to the water park. And like that discount, I've gone before and only paid like $45. I don't think that's as low as it is right now. But if you're planning on going a couple of times, maybe not once, a couple of times.
Twice.
And with this Florida, at least.
Three times a lady.
But with this Florida heat, it is not a bad option. So again, food for thought, park hopping, it's included. You don't have to pay extra for that. Now to the con. although Walt Disney World does... annual passes do grant you discounts on Disney merch and more, it does not grant you any discounts for Disney Cruise Line itineraries or any other Disney destination vacation outside of Walt Disney World and Shop Disney. Why do I mention this? I've actually seen it on several different Facebook groups asking for travel agent advice or help or anything like that. And people ask, like, well, I have an annual pass. What discounts do I get for a cruise? Sorry, totally different, like, experience, not even connected. I mean, yes, do you have Port Canaveral, which is 40 minutes away from Walt Disney World? Sure. No discounts there. Sorry, buddy. So kind of like how you don't have coast-to-coast access with the Walt Disney World pass, you also don't get discounts beyond Walt Disney World and Shop Disney, sadly. Moving on to number 8.
Yes. Number 8, annual pass holder exclusives, recognition such as the VI pass holder days, which include a private lounge, extra dining discounts, and more during select times of the year at Walt Disney World. They even have the pass. They had the pass holder lounge over in Morocco. I did see there was a little bit of a line the day that it opened. I think they opened that literally a couple of days after we left the last time we were down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But.
And they also have like meet and greets there that they did exclusive for pass holders. What I'm really excited about is that they're doing the extra dining discount. So depending on where you go and eat, sit down restaurants, of course, they bumped up the discount from 10 to 20% until the end of June. Hello, foodie over here.
Hello.
So cool. That is awesome. I mean, 20% is quite a good chunk at Disney. So even Mike's like, oh my gosh, let's go splurge and find a more expensive restaurant and that utilize that 20%. honestly, I brought up Jiko. I'd love to try Jiko. Yeah, that was the runner up, right?
And so. And then also one thing we didn't mention here, when you're entering the parks, there's also pass holder entrances that typically don't have nearly as long of a line. It's usually way off to the right or way off to the left. I typically bolt for that. It's like, I have this, I'm going to use it. Sometimes you don't need it, but on busier days, it's nice to have.
But it's always cool to just do it, even if it's not busy, because you still feel like you're part of the group, part of the A crowd.
Excuse me, pardon me. Yeah. I have my card. AP over here. No. But moving on, you know, we talk about all these great things with pass holders, with the annual passes. Annual passes are not for everyone. There is more than just ticket savings to take into consideration with the annual pass. Depending on where you're coming from, there are other travel costs to take into consideration, not just tickets. Not everyone has the ability to travel to Walt Disney World enough to make it worthwhile or have the ability to do so. You know, like we said, you have to weigh it. There's checks and balances with everything. It's a very personal decision that varies from home to home. One thing that is with Kelsey and I, it's a 6-hour trip. I feel like that's pushing it right with Ellie, especially, you know, she was, about a little over 4 months old the first time we took her. And we figured it was almost right at, stayed in the car seat for about 3 hours. We stopped and, you know, typically only really had to stop once. Some people that stay farther, you know, then you look into plane rides, which is a lot more expensive than just driving. That's also wear and tear on your vehicle. It's just a lot to take into consideration with making this decision. It's fun to have it, but it's also, I mean, there have been times too, it's like, you know, should we go? I don't know, but we have it. We have this. We need to kind of, we need to use it to justify it.
Right.
So thankful we got it, but it's still, you have to, it's not for everyone.
Yep.
So.
And you shouldn't feel like you have to use it. You want to be able to use it because you want to and because you can.
Right.
It's still, to an extent, vacation. It's a luxury. It's an awesome, awesome perk to be able to afford. But, you know, not for everyone. That's the truth. Anyways, moving on to number 9. Pro. If and when you renew your annual pass, you automatically get a discount in your annual pass upon renewal that you otherwise would not get as a first-time purchaser. I think that's pretty good. It's not a huge, huge discount, but honestly, because every year these passes do go up in price because it's just how the economy works, any little help, any little bit helps. So just something to keep in mind as like, oh man, should I renew? Should I not renew? You know, something else to keep in mind. As for a con, only one AP option, with the exception of DVC members, is available for out-of-state visitors. We kind of mentioned this earlier. It's worth mentioning again. You know, it's a huge investment. There's only one option. So again, kind of tied in with what we were mentioning before. You don't want it to be stressful. You don't want to feel like, oh my gosh, now I'm locked in for a whole year. I have to use it, you know. It's a big investment either way. But unfortunately, there's only just that one option for out-of-staters. So something big to keep in mind. All right, number 10, finish us off, Brooks.
Number 10, for you flow riders, your Floridians, you have the ability to set up a payment plan. Plus, you get to choose from 4 different annual pass options. You know, you poor, poor Floridians.
We've got the Pixie Pass, which is only weekdays. You've got the Pyre Pass, which is what I have, which has, you get weekends, but you do have a lot of blackout dates. Then you've got the Sorcerer Pass, which you only have, like, I think it's two periods of the year that are blacked out. And then 4th is the Incredipass, which no blackout dates. That's your Walt Disney World specifically. These just changed a year ago or 2 years ago. I can't remember. I think it was 2 years ago now. It wasn't the case. We had, like, gold, platinum, whatever. I can't even remember at this point anymore. But this new system is kind of new for the past 2 years. So, yeah. If you don't know what the names mean, I just explain them to you.
So, and then as a con for all of us other 49ers, 49 states, and overseas, everywhere else but Florida, you have to pay the annual pass in full without the option of payment plans. Universal allows payment plans for everyone, Disney. But
yes, they do.
Yeah, because like you say, it's you know, we mention it time and time again, it's a big investment. Whenever we got our annual pass, I got mine first, and then we waited a little bit, and then Kelsey got hers. But with the annual pass, with the annual pass and the memory maker, I think with tax, because tax is, you have to pay tax as well, it was over $1,600.
Yeah, people don't think about the tax.
Yeah, so I will say though, whenever we're planning out a trip, it is nice not to then have the ticket price along with the hotel. So we're just looking at hotels.
That is actually a really big pro. We should have added that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my little honorable mention. Steph, do you have an honorable mention?
I do have an honorable mention. Thank you for asking, Brooks.
It wouldn't be a top episode or anything without an honorable mention.
You're darn right it wouldn't be. So my honorable mention, after your spectacular honorable mention, which honestly, so true. I didn't even think about that. I do the same thing. Like, I'm always debating, hey, should I do this one or that one? Oh, well, it's the only price you see is the hotel. It's actually a really nice thing. Did not think about that one. But anyways, my honorable mention, annual pass holders get discounts for the pet boarding location on Walt Disney property, Best Friends Pet Hotel. Let us know if you would like for us to discuss the boarding location in a future episode of our Facebook page. I got 2 little fur babies, and both of them have already stayed at the pet hotel at Walt Disney World. I'm actually a huge fan, and I would be more than happy to talk about it one of these episodes if you guys are interested in it. But yes, we do get a discount, and any little bit helps. So that's my honorable mention. So on that note, the question of the night is, should you get an annual pass? Is an annual pass right for you and your family? It is for me. I also do not have children yet. Brooks, how do you feel about the annual pass?
So Kelsey and I thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, mentioned ours expire next Saturday. Even though we purchased ours back in March and April, it didn't go into effect until we first went. So we first went in June. That being said, because we honestly felt like we lost a few months because we went in June and didn't go again until September, we are foregoing that discount with renewing and waiting until our trip in September to renew, simply so we don't feel like we lose out on those months. Will we potentially regret it when we have a spare weekend in August, and we're like, oh man, wish we still had our APs. We might still buy in then. You never know. But I think we are leaning towards getting it again, especially with Ellie being under 3 and not having to pay for her ticket yet. Whenever she gets older, then that is going to be another discussion, because that's a whole other expense. There's no real yes or no black and white answer on should you get an annual pass, because people's situation is different from another person's situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, it works for you. It worked for me with Kelton being farther away and not being able to go as much. Doesn't make sense for him to have an annual pass right now. So if you are looking to thinking of getting an annual pass, talk to someone that has knowledge, like a Fairy Tale Journeys agent, that,
or one of us.
Yeah.
Feel free to like any of these, you know, if you listen to this episode and you've heard our pros and cons list, Brooks and I worked on it together. Sorry, Brooks, I kind of cut you off, but I feel a little passionate now. Feel free to reach out to us if you want to talk to us about this anymore and more of our personal experiences and why we choose what we did, or why we chose what we did. And again, 100% keeping in mind that everyone's situation is differently, but it's a huge investment. It's a big decision to make. We could probably talk for hours about all the different pros and our experiences. Like, we had a hard time with the cons, honestly. But again,
I think I had 2 on there.
You did. Yeah. You did.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, like Brooks was saying, you know, reach out to anyone with experience if you're having, you know, doubts, if you're on the fence, if you're not entirely sure. Reach out to us. We have no problems whatsoever to talk further about our experiences.
And we love that interaction, especially, you know, we had a poll from our last week's episode with the top 3 attractions, which, Steph, you won. By a landslide.
I was pleasantly surprised. Ooh, hold on. Time out.
Okay.
Backpedaling a few like numbers earlier. With the merch discount and everything, did you know that with your annual pass, you get 10% discount or 20% discount at Joffrey's? Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They have never once asked me for my annual pass discount.
They don't. You need to ask and they'll give it to you and you get a discount.
I could have paid for my annual pass just from that.
Just from Joffrey's, man. Just from Joffrey's. So yeah, that's like a huge, 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 huge perk with an AP, is that you get a discount with Joffrey's as well. Yum.
But yeah, like I was saying, Steph won the poll by a landslide, had more votes than both Kelton and I combined. So stay tuned to see what she wins. And we're still trying to figure out if we're going to have a punishment for Kelton, because he lost. He had the least votes. Yeah. Yeah. He said even his mom voted against him.
Oh, wah, wah. Well, it was anonymous.
And his wife.
Oh, that's just sad. At least your wife voted for you. I did notice that.
So, well, I'm the only one that had dinosaur. So
honestly, Mike said he liked your list the most because of dinosaur too. Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was a fun episode for sure. But final thoughts. Anything more to add?
Like we said, AP was great for us. It may not be for everyone, but if you're on the fence of whether or not to get one, I would honestly say lean more towards getting it. If you have the money to do it, I would say get it. So
you won't regret making memories.
Yeah.
And having happy moments with your loved ones. And I was going to say, you know, like Brooks, he has his daughter who doesn't pay. And what beautiful thing that he mentioned earlier is that within a year, he was able to see the growth of his daughter through the magic of Disney and through those pictures. So for all you new parents out there with kiddos, young ones, and you think, why would I go? Well, it's free for them. How many opportunities are you going to have that? And again, you really do get to experience so many beautiful memories. And you don't have the stress of having to do everything in a single day. You get to plan it out however you want and need to and take it leisurely and relaxed a little bit more. So yeah, I'm all for the annual pass if you can afford it. 100%.
Oh, and one more perk. If it's around Christmas time, sometimes they'll send out wrapping paper.
Oh yeah, that's fun. So. We do get goodies in the mail sometimes.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, I think that about does it for this episode of the Mouse Ears Podcast. Don't forget to join our Mouse Ears Podcast Facebook group and our TikTok page for all the episode details. If you haven't visited our website, mouseearsblog.com, check it out. Not only can you find our weekly episodes there, but you will also find some fun articles all about Disney. Don't forget, if you're interested in having a Fairy Tale Journeys agent, book your next trip with a P. Take advantage of some of the awesome summer deals and promos. Visit fairytalejourneys.com and let them know that the podcast sent you. Lastly, if you like listening to us, we'd love for you to leave us a review wherever you listen. Until next episode, thanks everyone and have a great day, night, week, rest of your afternoon. Good night, everyone.
Bye.